Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
And I'm Gwen Douglas with a mouthful of almonds. And today our episode is...
Volcanic wines.
Yes. So we both picked wines not necessarily from the area that you'd imagine immediately. Because I think a lot of people would think Etna right away, right?
Yeah, I think... Etna would be, well, that's sort of the region I would think of first. Etna or Santorini as well I think they'd be the first sort of places that I'd look at. So today we bought a bottle each. I've bought a bottle of the 2017 Beignet Tinto from Envinate, which comes from Tenerife. Super high altitude, very close to the Taide Mountain.
It's a very beautiful label.
And it's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got kind of like a 1960s, I don't know, it makes me think of Vespas and like, it's really chic. I like it.
I like the red as well, because the white is, got like a sort of a neon green.
Oh, really?
Instead of the red, yeah.
I like this colour of red on it too, this sort of like.
And we drank this from Magnum, the same vintage, for my birthday in January. Oh.
Not many memories.
It was a bit of a blur.
Yes. I found this on the shelf at home. No. So I brought this one back from Italy, and I might still have to get Emily to pronounce it.
Yeah, so we have the Taurasi.
See, I would have been way off.
No, you wouldn't have.
I would have been like, Taurasi?
I would have said Taurus. Yeah, Taurasi. Yeah. So Taurasi. From Fuori di San Gregorio 2012, which is coming from not far from Naples, very close to Mount Vesuvius.
That's where I bought it. I brought it back. I brought it back from Naples last year.
I think you have to come back with at least one bottle of Aglianico when you go to Naples.
I came home with a whole suitcase of groceries.
I remember you said.
I came home with 23 kilos, two bottles of wine, some fortified wine. I brought home like a bag of lemons, some oranges, like everything. Zucchini flowers, pasta, cheese, fresh sausages. I brought Naples home.
So, all the first wine. So I thought we'd start with them. We're going to start with the Envinate because it's a lot lighter. It's only 12% alcohol. Yeah, let's have a little bit of a sniff and a smell.
It smells really nice.
Quite interesting. I was checking the Volcanic Wine Books from John Scarborough before. I hope I'm saying his name right. And it says that volcanic soils make up 1% of our Earth's surface.
Only 1%?
And most of that is actually made up as wine grapes growing on it, yeah. So for me, when I think particularly of Europe, Canary Islands are one of my sort of go-to places. The islands are volcanic, and they have quite interesting ways of planting and training the vines, and here where this is coming from. So this is sort of on the island. It's in the, if you sort of look at the island of Tenerife, it's sort of going on a bit of a slant, but there's sort of the north side, which goes sort of really from like a northeast sort of down to west, if you were looking at a compass. Along there, that's where all of the rain comes over and drops, so it's like super green. And then on the bottom side of the island, it looks like Mars or something, or the moon or something. It's very barren and a lot hotter. But here they do something, I've actually got pictures to show you, so you know what I mean. But where they do the same thing as they do in Lanzarote, where they make these sort of pits. They plant the vines, they grow along like vines, and then that small little tiny wall as well to sort of protect them. I think it's to keep the heat in.
Oh, heat.
I think it's the heat as well, because this, I'm pretty sure this is coming from around 1,200 meters, that is super high. And the volcanic soil obviously keeps the heat in, helps with the ripening as well.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because it's quite dark coloured, it must attract the sun that reflects off.
Yeah, so this is quite common in this part of the island, and Lanzarote, you see this sort of all over, so they look like craters almost, little mini craters.
We'll post a picture so that you guys can see it too. Yeah, very cool.
I find that quite interesting, actually, because quite a lot of the wine regions that are on volcanic soil have different ways of training. Like, when you look at other parts of the island, they're the Trenzado vines, where they look like they're braided.
Oh, really?
And then, obviously, on Etna, bush vines, like Arborella, is really key. And then, like, even La Palma, the other island nearby, is quite common to see the vines sort of growing along the floor. So they just look like, oh, wow, a little bit like they do in Portugal and Calares. Cool. It's interesting, yeah. What do you think of this wine, Gwen?
I've just been, like, smelling it a little bit first. There is a little, like, kind of smoky, petrol-y.
It definitely has a smoky, charry, totally. Yeah. Super spicy, isn't it?
It kind of, it actually makes me think of Morocco. It's like Ras El Hanout.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it is, actually. All of this, the faint memories of drinking a magnum of this
are coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, cute, funny.
Yeah.
It'd be great with, like, a little barbecued something pretty raw.
Or even with fish. I mean, because yeah, there's totally no tannin. It's dry, it's got high acidity, it's quite fruity, it's got this nice spicy herbal quality to it. But, like, almost no tannin.
Yeah, delicious.
But this sort of salty finish, which is really...
What grape was this again?
Actually, Listan Prieto, which is also known as Pais. So Listan Prieto is a different grape variety to Listan Negro. So on the Canary Islands, particularly Tenerife, quite well known for Listan Blanco, which is also known as Palomino, the grape that's used for sherry.
Yeah.
And then Listan Negro being red Palomino.
Okay, yeah.
And then Listan Prieto isn't related to Listan Negro.
They just like to make it complicated.
Yes. Listan Prieto, originally coming from central Spain, and you find it actually throughout South America, and it's called Pais.
Okay.
So a selection of lots of small plots, very high altitudes. Here it says 1,000 metres, but I'm pretty certain when I saw the winery, he said it was higher. This has just been fermented in concrete. It's got 10 to 12, 20 days on skins. And 8 months in old French barrique, bottled, unfined, unfiltered.
Oh, I really like this.
Completely organic. Yeah.
I think it would go well with lots of food, and it's also quite delicious on its own.
Yeah. For me, one of those wines, smashable red wine.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's got that lovely sort of brambly fruit quality, but then this sort of salty, slightly smoky finish. So it's really easy to drink because it's quite appetizing.
Totally. I actually think it would be like blood sausage.
This would be great on, that's a really good call, actually. If you needed it, this would be nice sort of winter breakfast.
Yeah, I was thinking breakfast. Like a full Irish.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. Yeah. My little experience of Pais, and I don't know the grape variety too well, is that it's a relative, like, pale-coloured wine, like, as you see
as
here.
We see, yeah.
Quite good acidity, lots of, like, sort of brambly fruit. A little bit of spice there, but a little bit different. Like Listan Negro, for example, is, I always feel like the structure's a bit tighter, it's got a little bit more tannin, and it's a lot more spicier and more herbal as well.
Okay.
In some ways, yeah.
This one's a little more restrained and...
Yeah, and quite, it's so easy drinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's soft, even though it's fresh. And I think just with these sort of wines, drinkability, like we were talking a bit before, the fact that they have this, obviously they have this fruit expression and this flavour,
right?
But this savoury, mineral, salty or smokiness that makes you want to drink them more and more.
I've never been to Tenerife.
Yeah.
What is the, do they have a, is there like a food that is, like, what do they eat there?
Yeah, I guess, so Tenerife, it's an interesting place to visit because it's quite, you call it the Contrary Canaries, because in the south it's like super touristy.
Okay.
It's a bit like Ibiza, like if you go to the south near the main city, like where you fly in,
yeah,
it's like full of burnt English, German tourists everywhere drinking pints of very average beer. And then if you sort of escape from there, there's lots of beautiful spots to find. So you see wine being produced as sort of five main sort of DOs throughout the island. In the south, it's a lot hotter, a lot more dry. That's what you see that with the vegetation as well. You literally just see a lot of cactus and stuff in the south, and some gum trees a little bit along the road, but not much else. More rocky. And then when you go over the other side of the island, it's like tropical. It almost feels like a place like Pirates of the Caribbean almost. And then because of the history of the island, so wine's been produced in the Canaries for around sort of 400 or 500 years, and that was all due to the Spanish invading the Canary Islands. Because before that, the Canary, because of the proximity to Africa, they had an indigenous Berber people, quite similar to the Berbers of Morocco, that were living there. And I think it took Spain a couple of years to be able to fully, successfully occupy Tenerife. And that was with assistance of the Portuguese in the end. And it's quite interesting because in some of the buildings, like I saw when I was in some of the historical towns, La Laguna, when I was there, there were houses that almost had like a riad set up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where they had the, you know, like the garden the in the middle and the water
but
and stuff.
I think the Spanish do that anyway.
Yeah.
I think when you go to Barcelona, you see these houses also.
Or maybe more so where even when you went down to Sevilla.
Yeah, because it's like a cooling system having the central part. Yeah. But they obviously got it from, I mean...
Somewhere, yeah.
So
the food is influenced mainly by Spain and Portugal, and I guess probably the spices as well, a little bit coming from Africa. So a lot of fish, like a lot of fish. I actually had an amazing blood pudding.
Really?
And egg dish, yeah, that was insanely good. But yeah, no, lots of, like, amazing fish. Like, even just the average supermarkets there.
Really?
So every day, just even from everywhere that possibly it could, like, mussels, prawns, everything. And they have, they're quite famous for a little bit like you see a bit in the Balearics, those outdoor barbecues, you know, with the, like, built brick, wood, hooded.
Yes.
So you do a lot of cooking there as well. But yeah, meat as well, like, it's quite, like, went to quite a nice restaurant where you could get, like, grilled veal chop. And stuff like that, and then like with the Spanish style chips on the side. They're not really chips; they're more like crisps. They're somewhere between chips and crisps, and English
just like chewy crisps.
Yeah, yes. So yeah, a lot of grilling, cooking on fire, sort of thing as well. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, that bowl would be delicious with that.
Yeah, totally. With a little bit, I'll give you. I think just a little just splash more.
Big old prawns.
Yeah, giant more mild meat. And if we're going outside of that. If it Indian, like lightly, but not spicy, but like fragrant grilled fish curries and stuff that are not too spicy from the south, that could be quite nice. Natural. Really natural.
Yeah, really nice.
Mouth-wateringly refreshing.
So, next up, I'm really curious now because I did buy this. It is actually 2 years ago now.
We're going to be going from one extreme to another now in terms of style, which will be interesting.
Yep. So where the other one was light, this one smells pretty rich.
Yeah. And so 12% for the one before, and this is 14%. Like, so Taurasi, an appellation, as we mentioned, near Vesuvius, is quite famous for, again, volcanic soil. And it's quite interesting because I think often when we think of volcanic wines, we talk about Santorini, we talk about Etna, obviously, Lake Balaton in Hungary.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have immediately thought of this area as being volcanic, but it is. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of amazing wine being produced. Yeah. However, there's also a lot of average wine being produced in volcanic soil there, which is, I think, why we don't hear so much about it, because actually big industrial producers or bigger producers don't really ever talk about soil. It's usually smaller producers that are focusing on that, but
it was one of those, like, I brought it home and then was like, oh, actually I didn't realize they sold everywhere.
And what vintage have we got here?
2012.
So 100% Aglianico. And it's funny because I think Aglianico is not for everybody, but I think for those who may be like drinking like Bordeaux wines, Cabernet, Merlot, I think because it's quite dark in color, it's usually quite concentrated and quite alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for somebody that likes Primitivo or Zinfandel also, like, this is a grape as a nice
big and hot.
Yeah. And often oaked as well.
Yeah, which...
Because it's got this, like, truffly, chocolatey nose.
It's definitely got some wood on there.
So apparently, 18 months in barrique, and then they age it in bottle for 9 months before they release it as well.
So I think for me, this is definitely a food wine.
Yeah, I mean, this is not you're not going to knock a bottle of this on the balcony.
Yeah.
Let's just have a little sip.
You'd be like, people that you don't want to stay long, you'd be like, shall we open one of these?
What I will say about this, though, for a wine that's 14% alcohol and has spent so long in wood,
it's got
amazing acidity.
Yeah.
Really good balance.
Would you like to try a piece of pancetta?
Why not? Because I think this is a wine you said to try it with food.
Yeah, I think definitely. And actually something high fat's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm trying to imagine what I would drink this with. I was afraid it was going to stretch and then slap you in the face.
Oh, no. I just dropped a piece of pancetta on my knee.
Roast your dog when you need him.
Yeah.
Well, I was even thinking, like, my first thing that popped into my mind would have been like herb crusted lamb.
Mm. Well, we have herb crusted pancetta to taste it with.
Jam jam.
Yeah, this is actually quite good because I've tried some Tarazi and some Aglianico that are just so waiting for a minefield of tannin.
Let's talk about what volcanic soil.
Mm.
So what do these have in common? Do they have anything in common? Or is the commonality going to be so scientific that it's not something that we're going to be able to distinguish?
I think they have a couple of things in common, which mm-hmm. might sound unusual because they're such different wines. But I think what they both have is this this mixture of fruitiness and also savouriness at the same time. Mm-hmm. This sort of saltiness, this freshness that you see in the wines. I think that they share that in common. I think that they also represent sense of place and the grape variety. They have a lot of flavour and they have a lot of identity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think both of these are definitely their own characters. And then in terms of, just to brush over it quickly, I guess when it comes to volcanic soils, they are sort of enriched soils due to the volcanic activity.
I mean, obviously, mineral salts of things like potassium, magnesium, calcium.
Come out.
Obviously the salts are not in the wine.
Yeah.
But I think they impart a flavour.
When I was reading, they said tons of minerals and then sometimes in parts are smoky and then salty.
Yeah. And you see that with the wines, and I think that's what makes them, for me, so interesting and also what makes them so drinkable. Yeah. I mean, how often is it that we sit with a 14% alcohol red wine on the table that's spent 18 months in French barrique?
And
I've already emptied my glass.
Yeah, same. yeah. Usually that's the tight sip.
or roast dinners on the table, roast beef and stuff. And actually, this Tarazi would be great with roast beef because I'd actually want to drink more of it.
I mean, I've been kind of racking my brain a little bit because I was trying to think of this, what grows together goes together. So, of course, in Naples, goulash and stuff. But actually, I like the goulash.
Like goulash in Naples.
Well, kind of like a ragu-y. Yeah. Ragu, sorry. So, that's the Austrian, hanging out with an Austrian too long. The goulash and ragu got mixed together. But yeah, but I actually think that for me, I like to eat ragu or drink with ragu things that are slightly lighter. But I don't know. I think but I don't know if they really eat lamb down there.
Lamb would be delicious. Lamb. Like Sunday roast.
Something with a little funk to because I think lamb is funky, or actually other game meats than gamey stuff. Rabbit, maybe.
Yeah, or even rabbit stew.
Yeah, that's what I see. Rabbit stew.
Yep.
Because I was thinking it wants something stewed, but it wants something with a little character also to match its character.
I think it's got to be something with some good flavour because it's a balanced wine, right. But there's a lot of it.
Is that actually in Naples, they love offal.
Mm. Yes.
So actually that
It
totally goes with that.
Yeah.
Because it's strong and
even a tripe stew or something.
Yes, one of my friends was saying they love, I didn't see one. I would have tried it. I'm not a huge fan of tripe, but they do a sort of sandwich on the street, a fried sandwich that you then eat up on the street of tripe. And when he said it, I was like, that's the last thing I want to eat off the street.
It would have been quite funny to see somebody eat it and then be sick straight away after.
I'm sure it would. What?
As long as it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Or you.
Yeah. Ugh. But apparently it's delicious and I'd like to try it one day.
It's funny because now it's been open, the pepperiness is really coming out as well. And this sort of saline quality and the smokiness. And it's it's really weird because I smelt it and immediately then I'm thinking about being, when I went to visit the winery.
It's funny because they said lilac in their tasting notes. I don't get any lilac.
But there is there's a slight floral lift there, though, isn't
there? Totally.
This is definitely a wine that needs a little bit of air just because it's definitely a lot more aromatic than it was before.
But it's always nice to be drinking something that you want to go back in and every time you go back.
Yeah. If I could make wine, these are the sort of wines I'd love to make in Vinarte. They're really they're doing a really good job. So it's quite an interesting project. This is a project between four winemakers in a number of different regions, but Tenerife is the main. I think the large quantities come from Tenerife. They all met at winemaking school, and then they said that they wanted to start this project where they would make terroir-driven wines in different regions. So what they wanted to express in each of the wines that they were producing was the place, the varietal, and the people that make it. So he was sort of saying to me, you know, there are times where we maybe have to pick the fruit a little bit earlier because that vineyard's owned by somebody and they have their harvest party on that day. But all of those things then influence the final wine. And it was quite nice talking to him about their ethos and how they do it. And they're all sort of based in different places, but they're kind of all moving around and checking what the other's doing. But
I kind of like that better, actually, instead of like them having to dictate their lives or plan their lives around the
one place.
Yeah, they kind of, all right, well, we're going to make it work. We do it this now, we make it work.
Mm.
It's good.
Yeah.
Then it's a real photograph of a moment in time. So to end, we're both a little tired this week. We've been running around like crazy.
We have.
It's good. We're more interested in drinking than talking about the wine this week. But we're happy to do a red wine episode because it's been a little while.
Yes.
And it's actually nice to visit Italy because we also haven't in a little while. And so we'd love to hear your volcanic wine picks. Do you have any? Is there anything in particular we should know about or maybe cover in another episode? Or just your favorites. Send us pictures of what you're drinking. If you're inspired to drink something. Or if you find one of these bottles, send us a picture.
Sounds good.
You can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
And on Twitter at juice_podcast.
And you can visit our website at juice.show. Pick up a snazzy tote bag. I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
See you next week.